Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and Justin Long is in Studio 3 with us. Many of you know him maybe as the charming underdog in Dodgeball or a computer hacker in Live Free or Die Hard, the guy who eventually gets the girl in, like a lot of romantic comedies, including He's Just Not That Into You. I happen to know him first as a high schooler in Ed years and years ago.
Yes.
I loved you in that show, by the way. But he's also well known for appearing as the Mac in those famous 2000s Mac versus PC commercials, and today he's in Boston for the premiere of his new movie, Safe Spaces, which will open the Boston Jewish Film Festival tonight at the Coolidge. So really nothing to talk about, Justin.
No, that's it. So, well, it was nice to see you.
And, I'm going to go.
Take care.
That's all right.
But I have to just say, Tiziana, thank you so much for that introduction, and specifically for not using the word nerd or geek or dork or any derivation thereof when describing some of those characters. That was really impressive. The charming underdog. It's usually some form of he was the nerd in this and the geek in that.
No, he was a totally charming underdog in Dodgeball.
That's very nice.
That's right. And many of us have watched it, let's say, recently to be reminded of that.
Yeah, so. Oh, that's nice.
All right. So the first question I want to ask you, because it's kind of cool. Do I understand, is it true that you're part-time at least living in Massachusetts?
Yeah, I do. I live in Western Mass. I live in the Berkshires, a little place in a little town, not far from like Stockbridge, Great Barrington.
Yeah.
So I spent a lot of time there, probably about half the time.
What drew you there?
When I was a kid, we used to spend a week on this lake, and it was just I had the best memories. And we had to stop going at a certain point, just financial cutbacks, whatever. And I just so missed it. And when I made a little bit of money, I thought, well, there's no better thing to spend it on than a place at this very lake. So we went back up there and found a little spot there.
It was fun to hear you say made a little money, because we have a little bit of a
I don't know how to say that without
No, that's
like
fine. Because we have a little bit of a running joke here on Radio Boston that it's actually when you reach a certain age that our famous people wind up settling in Massachusetts.
Oh, that's funny, yeah.
But in your case, it was reach a certain level of success before you.
Yes, I needed the money.
Yeah, okay, very good. Yeah, so and what's the transition like? I mean, my understanding is you really were in that scene, the L.A. and New York kind of scene.
Yeah.
What's the transition like to the quiet, bucolic Western Massachusetts landscape?
Well, it's coincided with my aging, obviously. The time has gone by, and so I've just gotten to a place in my life where that lifestyle in New York, whatever I was experiencing in my 20s was just not as appealing. I literally just don't have the energy for it. So I took up gardening.
You're just too tired.
Yeah, no, I like a slower pace now, and I love to fish and garden and obviously, it's so much easier to do that there than in New York or L.A. And I just like the pace. I like the people up there. But I still return to the city, and I work in L.A. a lot. So I still can kind of dip my toes in that world.
All right. So you are here in Boston because you've got this new film, Safe Spaces. It's going to open at the Boston Jewish Film Festival tonight. It's directed by Daniel Schechter, and it follows your character, Josh, who is navigating a bunch of things. Grandmother's illness, some pretty shallow relationships in his personal life, an incident in his job. He's an adjunct professor at NYU, and a student accuses of him of creating an unsafe space in his classroom. NYU is New York University. I should be clearer. Ultimately, for me, the film was about family, I felt. But it looked like it was also intended to be about, you know, Me Too and safe spaces. So what appealed to you about doing it?
I liked the journey that he was going through. I loved the first thing was the most immediate thing was the story about the grandmother and what he's struggling with in terms of she's dying, and they're trying. The family has to come together.
She has cancer.
She has cancer, and I'm very close with my own grandmother, and who is shockingly, both of them are still alive. They're both 102, which is
that's incredible.
Incredible. And so that I and it was so beautifully written. All of that stuff. It was very honest and grounded. I come from a family of teachers, and so I've seen versions of not in terms of like the Me Too climate now and all that, but I've seen versions of like power struggle that they've gone through with students and dynamics within their careers that I thought this might be an interesting way to explore. But the movie, I think, really is about this guy's growth and the need for empathy and the need to listen. We've had a really positive response to it just from audiences.
I want to play a clip for listeners. This is when Josh is reckoning with the fact that students, including a student who felt his class was not a safe space for her. They're upset. Another student was compelled by Josh to reveal an intimate and uncomfortable sexual experience.
He's a creative writing teacher, and so he tries to draw out some of these experiences that these kids have to use in their writing.
And in this segment, he's finding out that his students were upset about that.
Well, she may never come back to class. And frankly, I don't blame her if this is your attitude.
Guys, I'm feeling very unsupported here. I'm also very confused as to who has the power on this campus.
I know you're new to teaching, and sometimes it's not what you think it's going to be.
Okay, I got an idea. How about I teach two classes a week that I've scheduled and prepared, and the students who show up and do the work get good grades, and those who don't get bad grades.
Your attitude is ridiculous.
I think this whole thing is ridiculous, Terry, frankly. And I'm not new to being a student. I was a student before this, and this is nothing like the college I remember. I was 19. What the hell did I know?
Look, I just really hope you reconsider giving an apology.
Terry, I really don't think I did anything wrong.
Justin, you were kind of animated just now listening to that as I was playing it. What was that about?
Probably just a tick. this guy's taking my photo right here, and I will always have this thing. I don't know. I think it comes from childhood, where one of my least favorite days was school photo day. I felt very self-conscious and insecure. And it's so funny. Every once in a while, I mean, this is 30 years ago, and I still see remnants of that. I chose the wrong profession, I think.
So our listeners don't know that we're entirely surrounded by glass. So Justin is able to see.
In a little aquarium.
So I want to bring you
terrarium.
To this. Right. I want to bring, no water.
Sorry. Yeah.
I want to bring you to this clip for a minute. Did Josh do anything wrong? He did press a student in the classroom scene to reveal a very intimate experience. In your mind, did your character do anything wrong?
This is the interesting thing, I think, about the journey that this character goes through, is that it's all about nuance and the need for, like I said, empathy. And I just don't think he was, in that moment, being empathetic enough to somebody else's experience. He has that arc in the movie, I think, and not to give anything away, but that's what I think he comes to – that's the growth that he goes through and comes to understand, is that we have no idea what people's experiences are and where they're coming from. And I think that's a very interesting part of the movie, is being a little bit more sensitive to that. And I think that's what a lot of these movements are about, stepping back a little bit and exercising a little bit more empathy.
You know, as I was watching it, one of the things that kept running through my head, you have been so lovable so many times in the characters that you've played over the years.
What does that mean?
Well,
no, I'm kidding.
I'm like, okay, if you have a problem with that,
well, now,
I'm
wait
not
a minute.
Sure you're going to like what I'm going to say next. I did not find Josh lovable.
Oh, good. Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
And I wondered, was it at all as an actor hard or scary for you to play someone not lovable?
That's a really good question. It's appealing because it is in my nature to I want people to like me. I mean, it's I don't know if it's vanity or ego or maybe something that's slightly more positive, but I do have that in me. It's difficult for me when people don't love me. I was just talking to a friend about this, that they're able to. Who was it? Why was it that they don't need to? I was interviewing. So I've been doing a podcast. I was interviewing this actress, Jameela Jamil, and she
from The Good Place.
From The Good Place, yes. And she's very active on social media and very outspoken. And I said, and she's upset many people by some of the things she says. And I was asking her about that. How just psychologically, how is she able to contend with that? You know, because if I put something out there and I find that it offends people, it really freaks me out. And I have and she basically said she doesn't. It's for the greater good. I mean, it's a really noble thing. I mean, she's far more noble than I am, and she's very convicted about her beliefs and very passionate. And I thought that was so admirable and fascinating. And I guess that is my long-winded way of saying. As an actor, it was really appealed to me to explore somebody who was less, you know, not very likable, and was doing things that were questionable that I would hope that I wouldn't do.
You know, you mentioned that you're doing a podcast, and I do have a couple questions for you about that. But before we talk about the podcast itself, you did an episode with Jonah Hill last month, and you said that your life really changed when you stopped identifying as an actor.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I think there was I got so much self-worth, so much value based solely on what I did, which for the last several years has been to act in things.
Really, since 2000, I think. Yeah. Right? 99, 2000.
I mean, I guess 20 years. So half my life.
just to be fair.
Yeah. So it became my identity. I mean, that became a focal point of my identity. And so if I didn't get a certain job or if somebody – I started I think you can get really lost in that if that's how you identify, if you identify solely as your job, especially if it's something as elusive and transitory as acting can be, as a career in acting is. So I've known older actors who had that mindset, who would only describe themselves as actors, and they – seemed quite unhappy. I've known a lot of unhappy actors.
So that's so interesting. I'm going to play a cut for you in a second here. We sort of joked earlier, you know, you and John Hodgman were in those famous Apple PC commercials. We actually had John Hodgman on recently.
I know.
Did you hear it?
No, I didn't hear it, but your producer had said he was here. And he's from Brookline.
He is. Yeah. And he's back in the area now that he's reached a certain age.
Yes, there you go.
A certain level of financial success. Yeah. But he talked – I wonder if we have time to do – here, I'm just going to paraphrase it because I'm not sure we have – time for the cut. But he was talking about a book where he's letting go of some of the fame and both missing some of it, but also recognizing it as an opportunity to be less about that fame and more about just being kind of honest and out there and who he is.
Well, I'm sure he said it far more eloquently than I just did. Or
but
could.
It sounds like it's similar.
Similar,
to what
very
you're
much
saying.
So. Yeah. I think a lot of people who are in that our profession go through a version of that. And I've seen people go, you know, you can go either direction. And Joan and I were talking about it in the context of him having gone through a worst version of it. Became so successful and it kind of he lost sight of some of the important things. He tells a very interesting story about checking Rotten Tomatoes scores for a movie that he directed and completely losing sight of the joy of having done the movie. And I've experienced versions of that myself where you get caught up in the trappings of it.
Is that why you do the podcast with your brothers? Because it gives you joy?
That wasn't an overt reason to have done it, but it's become a really nice byproduct of it. It's brought me so much joy. And I was talking to the director of this movie, Safe Spaces, about that. Dan, it gives us creative freedom too.
Because you're really in those podcasts just having conversations with people you like about stuff.
It's the best. I mean, the company that we do it with had approached me about doing it, so it wasn't something that I dared to even attempt on my own or had the audacity to think that, I could even do this or people would be interested. But once they did and once we started doing it, I came to
so
find that.
Who have you not had that yet that you wish you could have on your podcast?
Oh, so many people. I mean,
No. You got to pick one.
Well, I love Michael J. Fox. I grew up watching, just idolizing him. And I would love to have him on. We're going to – Alec Baldwin's going to be on soon. I'm trying to think who Jamila was great. We've been really lucky. We've had some, and we've had friends on. John, I hope to have on. John Hodgman's going to, we're going to do.
There you go, John.
Yeah, John, where are you? I think in a couple of weeks we're going to have him on, but it's just been the best. What is that?
This is our end music.
That's for me to say. Oh, this is you're playing me off.
Yes, we are. Okay, as a matter
time to
of
leave.
Fact, but very gently, because you weren't even sure what we were doing.
No, it's like waiting room, nice, relaxing music. I feel like I'm about to get a massage.
So that's actor Justin Lon. He's in Boston for the premiere of Safe Spaces, which will open the Boston Jewish Film Festival tonight. It'll show again Thursday and Sunday. It's also going to be released more widely under the title After Class in December. Thanks for being here.
Yes, thank you for having me. It's so nice.
You can find more information at radioboston.org. We're going to take a break. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.